Well, it's safe to say that it was a busy week in Yankee land. The week didn't go as planned, but we have a lot to talk about. Let's get it rolling on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. We are coming to you live in the Delahanty Media Studios in New Jersey. We are so happy to be back on the air. We are so thrilled that you took some time out of your busy schedule to hang out and talk some Yankees baseball with us. It's been a busy week since we last spoke, so this might be a little bit of a longer show today, but we have a lot to cover. Yankees kind of struggling out of the gate the last couple of games they've played. A couple of injury notes, a couple of key contributors struggling. We got a lot to discuss, and we will break it all down for you here. Now, as always, we hope you follow us on our social media platforms, at Delahanty Media on Instagram, at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter. That's the account for the show, and at Nick_Delahanty on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Now, as you already know, because you've done a great job of doing so already, our show is available on all podcasting platforms. You could find us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, this show is there available for you. Also, check out our website on Wix. Everything is uploaded there for you as well. And if you're really looking to support our brand and support our show, go to our Teespring account and order yourself a shirt. The gear is great. I just ordered a bunch of stuff from Teespring. They do a nice job with our gear. If you insert the promo code PT, that's P as in Pinstripe, T as in Talk, you'll get 20% off tonight or whenever you decide to listen. So take advantage of that. And, of course, we appreciate everybody taking their time and efforts to help support our show. Any proceeds that are raised through our store go directly into our media brand. So we thank you in advance for your support. So, as you guys already know, our show, we usually like to recap the week that has already passed or how many days have passed since our last episode. Now, we've been following the release of our shows every Monday night, and it's been a common trend. We're going to look to do two shows this week. We're going to do this one, and then we're going to break down the short series against the Atlanta Braves in an episode later on in the week. But we have to catch up. We have a lot to talk about, like I mentioned earlier. And I want to get it going right away. The Yankees have had two series over the past week. They played the Philadelphia Phillies and then had a weekend trip up to Tampa to take on the Rays. And before we even get started into it, it wasn't an ideal week for the Yankees. They've lost five of their last seven. But again, you're in a shortened season. You're at a 60-game slate. And the new playoff format heavily favors the New York Yankees because there's essentially a very good chance they're going to make the postseason. So obviously you don't want to take anything for granted. You don't want to just think you're going to backpedal into the playoffs. But essentially, if this team stays healthy, they have the talent to do that. So that's a scary thing in itself. But again, you want to be the top seed or one of the top seeds so you get home playoffs early on, especially late in the year when you're playing some good teams. You don't want to go on the road and have that hovering over your head, so it's an important thing to get that home field, and hopefully the Yankees are able to do so. But let's jump right into the Phillies series, and they'll play a four-game slate starting August 3rd, and the series started off well. You know, anytime you send Gerrit Cole to the mound in your series opener, you have to feel good about your chances, and let's be honest, Cole wasn't as sharp as we've seen him, you know, in past years and whatnot. And up to this point, we really didn't see the vintage Gerrit Cole. But Cole was able to go six innings, allowed one run. The Yankees got on the board right away. DJ LeMahieu hit a leadoff home run. Gardner added a home run in the third. And then Cole handed the game over to the bullpen after his solid performance. Holder had a shutdown seventh. Brooks Krisky came in. He struggled in the eighth. He turned it over to Green. And then up 6-2, Aaron Boone says, you know, we're playing a doubleheader on the 5th. You know, we have a lot of games coming up. We have two doubleheaders over the next week. I want to try to save my big guns. I'm going to go to Luis Avilan. And Avilon's been solid. Don't get me wrong. He's had some good outings for the Yankees, and you can't take anything away from the veteran. He's been doing what the Yankees have needed him to do in certain situations, but the game kind of got a little bit closer than the Yankees probably would have wanted, and they end up having to go to Britain anyway. So the Yankees end up winning the game 6-3. Britain closes it out. They move to 8-1 on the year, heading into the off day before the doubleheader, and you have to feel good. You know, like I said, your ace on the mound, you get some offensive production. Gardner hits a home run. You're thinking, man, okay, Gardner's starting to feel it. This is good. We'll take it. And then you have the off day. So you head into the doubleheader. You take the first game. Now, the logic in the doubleheader, and I might be wronger. You might disagree with me here. But my goal in a doubleheader is to split. You know, if you take two games in that doubleheader, that's fantastic. You'll definitely take it. But essentially, you don't want to go into a doubleheader and get shut out in terms of wins. So winning at least one of the two games in a doubleheader is important. And in the Yankees' case, if you win one of the two, you guarantee a split with the Phillies, who a lot of people don't give credit to, but I think they're a pretty decent ball club. I think they're going to be right in the playoff mix as we move along closer to the end of the season, you know. We have a long time to go, but this team has the pieces to be competitive, especially in the NL East, where you really don't have a top dog. The Nationals and the Braves are there, and the Mets are struggling behind a little bit because of guys who have opted out and injuries and whatnot, but it's a division that's up for grabs, and the Phillies have a veteran manager in Girardi who's been there and done that, and they have a good, solid roster. So heading into the first game of the doubleheader, the Yankees turned to J.A. Happ. And I can't watch this guy pitch anymore. I really can't. There's a lot of Yankee fans that are in there with me or people who watch the Yankees religiously. I can't stand watching this guy throw a baseball anymore. Why? In this ballgame alone, okay, let's just look at some numbers. He went three innings, allowed four runs. He only allowed three hits. He walked six batters in three innings. And what you're going to see in this show, because I'm going to talk about it in a little bit as well, walks kill you. They really do. And essentially, Happ was trying to get a strike call on the outside corner and kept going to the same spot trying to get that call, and he wasn't getting it. As a veteran pitcher, you have to know you have to make adjustments on the mound. If that came from a Jordan Montgomery or a Michael King or, heck, even a Clark Schmidt, you say, okay, they're learning. It's a learning curve. They're going to figure it out. But as a veteran pitcher, you cannot do that to your team and just continue to attack the same spot and same locations and hope that the umpire is going to change his mind and say, oh, you know what? Happ threw that 37 times before. Let's give it to him now. It doesn't work that way. And for a veteran guy, the Yankees need this dude. The Yankees need him to be productive. They don't need him to go out and absolutely be terrible on the mound. You're in a doubleheader. You're about to play 14 innings. And your game one starter doesn't even get you into the fourth inning. That's embarrassing. Happ was no good. And it really cost the Yankees because they had a chance to win this ballgame. Nick Nelson comes in after his absolutely phenomenal debut. He stinks up the joint. He goes 1 2/3. He allowed 6 earned runs. He essentially took one for the team because at that point, you're trying to save the bullpen in case you have a chance to either A, come back in game one, or B, save the big guns or the guys who you're going to need for game two. So it was a tough one. The Yankees are down. They go into the ninth inning. They cut the lead to 11-7 on an Aaron Judge homer, but weren't able to cut it closer than that. And that's your ball game, 11-7 in game one. The notable in this one, DJ LeMahieu, that guy, listen, I could throw a beach ball at him, he would hit it. I could throw a bottle cap at him, he would hit it. Heck, I could probably not throw anything at him, and he would still find a way to hit it. The guy is just unbelievable. He was 3-for-3 before they took him out to get him a little breather before game two. He's phenomenal. Give him a blank check, Cashman. I love this guy. Keep him around for a long time. But game one was ugly. You head into game two, and the pitching was much better. Loaisiga gets the start in the bullpen game. He goes into the third inning. He only allowed one run, which ended up being all Philly would get in that ball game. Avilon, Green, Ottavino, and Britton come in for the final 4 2/3 in shutout fashion. They were very good in that one. Yankees get some runs. Voit homered in the second inning. The game was tied going into the seventh. Mike Tauchman, you can't say enough about how great this guy's been. He hits an RBI double to give them a lead that they would hold for good. They ended up tacking on another run. And it was a great way to end the day, especially after game one was rather ugly. You'll take game two. You'll take the split. And head into the final game of the series, hoping that you could take three out of four from your interleague opponent. And now, while we're on the topic of August 5th, it's important to know that on this day, Tommy Canley had his Tommy John surgery. We wish Tommy Canley the best. It's very disappointing knowing that Canley is out for the year and into next year. And who knows about the future he has with the organization. He is a great clubhouse guy. He's been a very valuable asset. We talked about him on the last show. So seeing him on the mend, hopefully he comes back healthy and better than ever. And hopefully he has a chance to repitch again in the Bronx, because I think that he has grown to be a fan favorite among many, not even just myself. So, Canley, we wish you the best. We hope you get back really soon. And it's a matter of time before you're dominating, throwing that changeup back on a big league mound once again. Now, let's head into August 6th, the final game of the series against Philly. And Jordan Montgomery, who I mentioned earlier, he did not have it in this ballgame. And if you look on Twitter, and I'm not going to quote anybody because I don't know exactly who posted it, but it was very interesting to see where the pitch locations were for Montgomery. And a lot of the pitch locations were left right over the middle of the plate. And obviously, that's something that Matt Blake and the Yankees are going to have to work on and fix. And with Montgomery, you expect him to have some struggles, especially given that he's coming off the Tommy John surgery and he's trying to get his form back. But on this day, he didn't have it. He only went four innings. He allowed five runs. The Yankees were down 3-0 early. JT Realmuto hit a home run, and they were playing catch-up for the entire game. Gary Sanchez hits a home run late. You would think that that would have sparked Gary. We're going to talk about him later. But the Yankees fall short. They lose 5-4. And this game stands out to me in general because the Yankees had a chance to win this ballgame, or at least tie the game. They had Stanton on third base with two outs, and Aaron Boone decided to go to Aaron Judge to pinch hit. Now, I understand where he's coming from. You know, Judge is arguably the best player on the planet right now, but in a situation where you need to put the ball in play, why didn't he go to DJ LeMahieu, who also had the day off like Judge? I thought that would have been the more logical idea there. I understand where Boone's coming from. Obviously, you're not gonna argue, oh, he used Aaron Judge in that situation. Judge is a beast. But so is LeMahieu. But I think in the given situation, needing a base hit, needing the ball put in play, you would have been better off giving LeMahieu a crack at it, a guy who has a much higher contact rate than Judge. And Judge does have the tendency of striking out, and in that at-bat, he did go on to strike out. So I don't know if it was a great decision by Boone. Listen, I've been also debating some of his pitching moves as well, taking guys out, leaving guys in. We're going to talk about that a little more, too, on this show. But again, I think that it needs to be said for Yankee fans, you know, and I'm one of them, too, because, I disagree with a couple of them. You know, we have to just trust them. Managers are going to make mistakes. They're going to. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of ifs and whens. You just hope that from the mistakes, Boone learns from them. And he's still a young manager. He's still growing, and he's still learning on a daily basis. So you just hope that over time, he figures it out and stops making some of the common mistakes we've been seeing, or using judgment in certain places that necessarily doesn't fit the current situation. Because in that situation alone, that was one that I was scratching my head. I'm sitting like, what's up with LeMahieu, bro? Put him in the game. Let him hit. That's the guy I wanted up. Again, Judge got the at-bat. Judge didn't come through. And more likely than not, Judge is going to come through in those situations. So, you know, you take your split against your, like I said, interleague opponent. And you leave Philly and you head on to Tampa in hopes that you're going to make some noise there in a big American League East series, in my opinion. But before we get to that series, the Yankees had to trim their roster to 28 players. That was on Thursday. So what they did was they optioned three players off the big league roster, leaving one spot open. And those three players, Thairo Estrada, Nick Nelson, who, after his bad performance against Philly, it was no surprise, and Miguel Andujar. Now, a lot of people, including myself, have high hopes for Andujar. I'm not going to sit here and say that I've given up on him. I'm just a little concerned about how the Yankees are going to handle Andujar down the road. Now, in 14 at-bats to start the year, he only had one hit. And he's not a guy that you're going to be wowed defensively. He really doesn't have a set position. He plays a little third. He plays a little left field. But neither one is he very good at. So with a full-time DH, which is a clogged up position, and no full-time position for him, and the limited action, it's hard for a guy like him to get going. And, you know, maybe the Yankees find a way to get him every day at bats eventually. Maybe they say, you know, we don't see him having a future in the Bronx because of our talent and our roster, and we decide to trade him to get some assets that could help us now. But regardless of the situation, you just hope that Andujar can figure it out when he comes back up and he doesn't struggle as bad as he did. Because he went from a guy in summer camp that we were all saying, man, this guy's got to be in the lineup. He's roping home runs against Gerrit Cole. He looks phenomenal. To the guy that misses a little league type of ground ball while playing left field. He's a big league player. He is. Whether he's a full-time DH somewhere or they figure out a way to find him in the field where he doesn't serve as such a liability, the kid's a good Major League Baseball talent. And he came short of winning the American League Rookie of the Year his rookie year behind Ohtani because everybody loved the unicorn. Now look at him. But anyway, Andujar's that player. He's coming off the shoulder surgery. You know, I don't give up on him. I think that he's going to make an impact at the Major League level. I just think it's a matter of time. You know, injuries happen. Guys get in slumps. I think he's going to get his chance, and I think when he does, when he gets those everyday at-bats, he's going to thrive, whether it's in New York or not. So Andujar, to me, is an interesting guy to keep an eye on. The other two, Estrada, I understand they're moving him down. They have a lot of depth in the infield. Wade is the backup infielder. Really not a need. And then Nelson, like I said, was the casualty in that blowout of game one after Hap. You know, it must have been a contagious thing where you follow Hap and the badness just rubs off on you. But nonetheless, the Yankees get the roster down in time, and you just wait to see what's going to happen with Andujar. And another important thing to note about him, it makes sense for the Yankees to move this guy down. Why? It's simple. If he spends a certain amount of days in the minor leagues, the Yankees get an extra year of club control on this guy. Wow. Do you think they planned that? Absolutely. They want to keep this guy around. They haven't given up hope on him. They're going to make sure they get everything and anything they can. Because if this guy turns out to be a 30-homer, 100-RBI guy, what's going to happen? You're going to have to pay the dude. And what happens when you pay the dude? You can't keep everybody. You're going to have to pay somebody and let go of somebody else. So they're taking a chance on earning some more service time, and they're hoping it pays off in the long run. So, like I said, Andujar is an interesting topic, an interesting guy. I expect them to try to get him some reps. At the alternate site, he'll probably be with the taxi squad. So I'm looking forward to seeing Miguel Andujar return. But again, if you're a Yankees fan right now, you love Gio Urshela, you love Mike Tauchman, and you don't want a guy like Andujar taking their at-bats away. Now, before we actually get into, you know, the thick of the Tampa series, before the series even happened, I tweeted out on my personal account, at @Nick_Delahanty, by the way, that this was a big series for the Yankees. And what I meant by it was, yeah, look at the standings. The Yankees had a lead in the standings. They were one of the best teams in baseball at the time. It is what it is. But my point was, you want to kind of distance yourself now, even though it doesn't matter where you place in the top of the division. If you're one or two, you get in. And if you're three, you have a chance at that wild card. So, obviously, the Yankees have a really good chance of making the postseason. I wasn't insinuating that. What I'm saying is, you want to win the division. You want to have the best record in your division. You want to put your foot on the gas, and you want to take the division by storm. You want to give nobody hope. You want to give nobody a chance. And I thought that this series would have been a great way for the Bronx Bombers to do that because they had a chance to take 3 or 4 or even sweep Tampa in their home building and just go from there and kind of build momentum off of that. And unfortunately for the Yankees, didn't really necessarily happen that way. For me, I thought the series was going to be important. But after talking to some buddies and reading up on stuff, I realized, like, in a 60-game slate, like, the games matter for the teams that are going to be on the bubble. But if you're the Yankees and the way that they're playing and the way that their talent is constructed on the roster, you kind of have that, I don't want to even say cocky or arrogant, but you have that confidence that they're going to get in no matter what. So, again, it's a matter of just getting playoff seeding, I guess. But the Yankees go into Tampa and really struggle. Game one, they have Tanaka on the mound against Snell. And Tanaka, the guy we all need in our lives, that Masahiro Tanaka, throws a gem. This dude got hit in the head with a line drive off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton. Y'all remember that. And he's back on the mound. He goes 5 innings, only allows 1 hit. He throws 59 pitches. He's still working from that concussion. He was brilliant. But the Yankees don't find a way to win the ballgame, and it was a wasted outing from Tanaka. Now, say what you want about the pitching. The pitching's been the deficit recently in certain games, but the offense was atrocious. Snell was out after 3 innings. They worked his pitch count up. He's still building back. But the Yankees couldn't get anything done against the Rays bullpen. Only had 2 hits in the game, 1 from DJ and 1 from Tauchman. And the Rays were able to score an 8th inning run off of Adam Ottavino. So a bad start to the series. Tampa takes game 1. Saturday, doubleheader. Yankees have Gerrit Cole on the mound in game 1. And this is one of the situations where I didn't agree with what Aaron Boone did. As we know, Gerrit Cole had his win streak. His win streak that was talked about more than anything because, you know, winning is important, obviously. But, again, I think they put too much into this win streak. Consecutive starts where he won. Yada, yada, yada. I get it. But the Yankees are in this ballgame. Cole is in the 5th inning. His pitch count's high. Clearly, it was his best stuff of the year so far. And the only problem with it was Tampa made him work. Tampa literally was working counts, and even though they had 10 strikeouts against the Yankees ace, they were making him work. So it was a taxing start for him. So we're in the 5th inning, and Cole was at the end of the line. He was gassed. You could tell. You go by watching. He lets up an RBI double to Choi, and then Boone leaves him out there to face Martinez. So, which I thought was the wrong decision. After the RBI double from Choi, I would have taken him out. Even though I understand where Boone's coming from, trying to get him that win, trying to stick with your ace, I totally understand it. Would I have done it differently? Probably. But, again, it is what it is. And luckily, it didn't necessarily kill the Yankees at this point. But then Martinez comes up. He hits a home run. It ruined the box score for Cohen. Obviously, the no decision ruined the win streak. But the Yankees end up still winning the game. They were led by a 4-run 3rd inning. Mike Ford hit a 2-run homer. And then Gio Urshela, the most happy fella, hit a two-run double to give the Yankees the lead. And then later on in the game, you got a home run from Giancarlo. More on him in a little bit. A home run from Judge. And then a sack fly from Gio. And then Green picked up the win in relief and Otto pitched the 7th inning. Because remember, doubleheaders are 7 innings. So Yankees take game 1, even up the series heading into game 2. But again, the common denominator in Game 2 has been what we said in some of the previous losses. The pitching was terrible, people. The pitching was terrible. Michael King did not have it. He went into the 4th inning. He allowed 3 runs. He only let up 1 hit. But you know what the problem was? He walked 5 batters. This was a common trend for the Yankees pitching during this ballgame because they walked 9 total. Avilon walked 2. Abreu in his major league debut, he struggled. He walked 2. 9 batters in a 7-inning contest. You can't win ball games like that. I don't care who you are. It's not going to happen. Yankees end up losing 5-3. DJ LeMahieu hit a 2-run single in the 7th to cut the Rays' lead, but they just fell short. Aaron Judge missed a home run by a couple of feet. It is what it is. They lost the game. But the big news from this ball game, hold your breath, Giancarlo Stanton's hurt again. He was replaced by Mike Ford. Stanton was hurt running the bases. He was placed on the injury list. We're going to have more on that in just a little bit. Not good news for the Yankees. That's no bueno. But now we go to game four of the series, and the Yankees have to win this ball game to at least split with their division rivals. And James Paxton's on the mound. And we all know what James Paxton's been doing as of late. He has been stinking up the joint. He has not been the same James Paxton. The velocity's down. We talked about it last show. Is he hurt? Is the back bothering him? Is there a mechanics issue? But on this day, Paxton was fantastic again. The box score doesn't show it because his last inning of work doesn't show that. But he was fantastic. 6 1/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, 11 strikeouts. All 3 runs came in the 7th inning. Again, I felt Aaron Boone left him in too long. For a guy like Paxton, whose confidence was sky high after a great start against a division foe, take him out and turn it over to the main pieces in the bullpen. Let them do the job. You're up 3-0. The Rays handed them a lead. Handed them a lead. They walked forward. Well, they hit forward with a pitch with the bases loaded in the 1st inning. And then an error by Margot in center field gave him 2 more runs. So they gave you runs. And Paxton gave you a dominant performance. What you haven't seen from him since the season started. Ended on a good note. Let him go on a high note. But yet, he let him in too long. They tie the game. Yankees lose on a walk-off by Perez in the 9th off of Britain. Very, very tough series. Now, you might just think I'm saying this because I'm a Yankees fan. I don't want to hit the panic button. But like I said earlier, after thinking about the series and thinking about how the playoffs are, how big are these series really? You know, if you keep winning games, you win 2 games or a couple of games here and there, and you find your way into the playoffs, does it really matter? Obviously, you want home field, and obviously, you want to get into the playoffs, but the way it's set up, the Yankees are in a decent spot. Not time to panic. I think they're still trying to figure it out on the pitching end of it. And again, the offense has their moments where they look really good and then they look really bad. So I think they'll figure that out, though. They'll kind of settle that as we go along. Some important topics that I want to talk about as we kind of wrap up the show, a couple of things. Yankees 2-5 in their last 7 contests, the Ikes, but, you know, when you start off hot, you're not going to stay hot forever. Baseball's an up-and-down sport. It happens. It is what it is, but now you just wait and see how they're going to respond over their next couple of series. Chris Iannetta, who made the opening day roster, retired. I write for Keeping a Heel, North Carolina-based website, and I wrote an article on Iannetta. Interesting to note that when the Yankees signed Iannetta to a minor league deal with an invite to spring training, Iannetta made it clear, if the Yankees decided to option him to the minor leagues at the time, and now it's the alternate site, he would elect to retire. And they wanted to keep him on the taxi squad, but Iannetta had other plans. He already made the commitment to retire. And unfortunately for him, he probably would have been brought up to the big league roster because Kyle Higashioka has a right oblique strain. He was placed on the 10-day injured list. He was replaced on the roster by Eric Kratz. Eric Kratz, who's been in the major leagues for a while now, 40-year-old veteran backstop. He'll be the Yankees' backup catcher for the time being. And again, the way Gary Sanchez is playing, the injury to Higashioka does not help them at all. And just when you thought all was good with Giancarlo Stanton, the injury bug hits him bad. And Stanton was off to a good start this year, 12-41, 3 homers, 7 RBIs. He had a .293 batting average, 10 runs scored, and he had 10 walks compared to 11 strikeouts. So you can live with the strikeouts because he was getting on base. He was being patient. He was being smart. And now he has 7 years and $218 million left on his contract. He's under contract until 2027 when he is age 37. So now you're sitting here and you're like, the Yankees have tried everything with this dude to keep him healthy. He was their everyday DH. They were giving him days off. There was nothing that they were doing that was wrong in keeping Stanton healthy. And you're trying to figure out what more can you do to keep this guy on the field. It's unbelievable how much he gets hurt for such a strong and physical dude. The injuries just come and you didn't notice it when he was running and then he gets taken out of the game. You're like, what the heck happened? This is crazy. It's unbelievable to think that he's hurt again. And hopefully he's back soon because obviously when you want him, when he's there, he's an MVP caliber type of player. But luckily for the Yankees, they have a lot of depth that they can rely on. And what it looks like is going to happen is Clint Frazier is finally getting called up to the Major League roster. Now, obviously, this could play two ways. One, the Yankees could stash him on the bench and not play him, which they'll probably end up doing because we know how they handle Frazier. Or they could suck it up and give this guy everyday DH at-bats or at least mix and match him with the likes of Ford and Voit and give some of these guys days off. To be honest with you, and I'm going to maybe sound crazy to some of you, I would prefer to play Tauchman and a mix of Gardner and Frazier over Hicks. I don't think Hicks is very good, to be quite honest with you. Hicks is rather frustrating to watch, and it seems like he's been getting worse in the field. 211 average at the plate, 235 career. I think the Yankees overpaid him at a time where they thought he was going to be better or break out or peak, but I think you got to get Tauchman more playing time. The dude's hitting 310 over his 11 games, a great defensive player. He hustles. He does all the little things. He's smart. Yeah, he made a mistake in one of the games, a base running blunder, but it happens, you know. It's a game where mistakes do happen. And I would like to see Frazier get an opportunity. I really would. I think that it's long overdue. I think that he's earned his keep. And Judge made comments when they asked him about Stanton, and he said that there's guys in the minor leagues or alternate site that are chopping at the bit to try to get an opportunity, and that's Frazier. He is saying Frazier without saying his name. Like, we all know Andujar. He's not talking about Andujar. He's talking about Frazier. They all know this kid is major league caliber. And whether it's with the Yankees or with somebody else, I think he's going to be a good major league player for a long time. But it's a matter of getting him the opportunity and seeing what he can do. And like I said about Andujar, the service time is more important right now. They're trying to get that service time and earn the extra year. They don't have a spot for him. So logically, for the time being, you let Clint play and see what he's got. And then two guys who are really struggling, one's starting to somewhat figure it out. Gary Sanchez is absolutely terrible, you know. And when he's not hitting, you can't live with his defense because it's a liability. And now without Higashioka, it's even worse. So far this year, he's 4 for 39 over 13 games, 22 strikeouts compared to 4 walks. It's a guy who is trying to do too much at the plate. I don't know how to fix him. I wish I did because I would go to Yankee Stadium or call him and tell him how to fix it. But he's a guy that, when he's hot, he's one of the best players in the game. When he's cold, you know it, and it's ugly. And that's where we're at right now. It's an ugly situation for Gary, and hopefully he figures it out because we know how good he is, and you just kind of wait out the storm until he figures it out. He's not an eight hitter on this team when he's good. You know, he's a middle-of-the-lineup bat, but right now, he's hitting like an 8 or a 9 hitter on good teams. That's how bad he's been. So, again, you just have to hope that he figures it out. And Glaber. Glaber's been struggling too. 157 batting average. He hasn't been the same guy. But there's a lot of pressure on the 23-year-old. I said it last show. You know, he's the shortstop of the New York Yankees now. He's not the second baseman that can go in and just do his job. There's a lot more responsibility defensively for him. And I think that it's taking a toll on him. And like you say, you see and you read about him, he's expanding the zone. He's chasing pitches out of the zone that pitchers are making good pitches, and they're making him do that. So, you know, he's a young guy. He's going to figure it out. I'm not worried about Glaber. You know, I'm more worried about Glaber defensively. I'm still on the fence as to whether or not I believe in him as a full-time shortstop. I like him at second base. I do. And I love DJ LeMahieu, first of all. I would find a way to get him in the lineup, whether he's playing first, second, third. He could be my DH for all I care. The guy hits. The guy's amazing. But overall, I think that Glaber's a better second baseman. And even though he's a natural shortstop by trade, I just think that I would rather have him at second base. But for this Yankee team, they need him at short. And he could prove me wrong. The kid's a great athlete, a great ball player. And I hope he sticks at shortstop because he could be the face of the franchise for a very long time. And will he figure it out? Absolutely. I think it's a matter of, number one, getting him in the right spot in the lineup to succeed. Maybe you decide to move an Aaron Judge to the three spot and you move Glaber up. Let Glaber see some good pitches knowing that Judge is behind him, especially without Stanton. You know, Torres was used in that three spot because Stanton was behind him. So maybe now give him some at-bats in front of Judge. Or, you know, put him in a spot where he's got more chances to succeed or see better pitches It's a matter of just finding the right spot and getting him into a groove. I'm not worried about Glaber. Neither should you. And one last time for the people in the back, and I want you all to remember this. Mike Tauchman is an everyday player at this point. I don't care how you do it. If it's not Aaron Judge, obviously, because you want Judge in the game every day, Tauchman should be starting in center field. And Gardner and Frazier should be splitting time in left field. And now's the time to do it. Aaron Hicks is one of the most overhyped players in all of baseball. And I'm tired of seeing him jogging to balls that should be his and not hustling all the time and taking plays off. I'm just tired of seeing it. I want to see more Tauchman. Give me the sock man. And that's all I'm going to say on the topic for now. But that's going to wrap up today's show. Like I said earlier, we're going to do a special on Thursday after the Braves series. The Yankees take on the Atlanta Braves in a two-game set that starts on Tuesday. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare in that one. And then they have a series against the Red Sox and a series against Tampa coming up. Nine-game home stretch, baby. The Yankees spent a lot of time on the road so far this year. They're going to play a lot of games in the Bronx now. And hopefully we have a lot more positive things to talk about with you on our next episode. As always, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We're available on Instagram as well, Delahanty Media. Our show is available on all podcasting platforms. Check it out on Apple. Subscribe, rate, and review the show. We need the support. Hit us up. Help us out. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. You name it, our show is there available for you. As always, we thank you for tuning in. We love to talk Yankees baseball, and we love when you join in on our conversation. Until next time, I'm Nick Delahanty. I am the host of Pinstripe Talk. And for this episode, we're going to wrap it up. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.